morning.
Morning.
Good morning again.
Morning.
It is by God's grace that we are here this morning.
Amen.
It is by God's power that we have come together, that we have decided to gather and worship Him with the saints here at Wheelers Lane. Those who are visiting with us, we are so thankful and so glad that you have chosen this morning to be with us. And we pray that you will spend your day with us and not only enjoy worship, but also enjoy fellowship. We thank you so much. And we also want to thank the brethren for this opportunity to stand before you to share with you God's word. We would like for you to turn with us to the book of Deuteronomy. The chapter is 16 and the verse is 2. Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 2. And I must I feel like I want to compliment myself because I overcame something that I've been struggling with for a long time. Now some of y'all may think it's a big thing. It's big to me. I learned how to spell Deuteronomy. I didn't use spell check. I spelled it myself. And I was just writing in my notes, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy. Knowing y'all weren't going to see it. But I wanted to show myself I could spell it. Small victories. Small victories. The Bible reads, "Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto thy Lord, unto the Lord thy God, of the flock and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there." I'd like to live for a subject on this morning, the place which the Lord shall choose. The place which the Lord shall choose. What we want to do this morning is I want to encourage us to live our lives as God has chosen. I want us to live our lives as God has chosen. Now, how are we going to do that? First, we're going to look at the context of Deuteronomy chapter 16. We're going to understand the meaning of this phrase We're going to understand the meaning of the phrase, the place which the Lord has chosen. And then we want to apply this phrase to us. We want to look at how this phrase, the place which the Lord has chosen, applies to us. When we look at the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy is the last book in the book of law, the books of law, or the books of Moses. And it is book 5. And it was written by Moses approximately 1406 BC. And it is the last of the speeches, the last of the writings that Moses gives to the Israelites before they cross over into the promised land. It contains three speeches of Moses. It contains three speeches of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 16 is included in the second speech that Moses gives to the Israelites. In that chapter, he gives instructions on the three feasts that the Israelites will take part in throughout their time in the promised land and for the time to come. And those three feasts are Passover, the Feast of Weeks, or what we call Pentecost, or also the Feast of Booths. Now, all three of these feasts, when you read through the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16, they all have this phrase in them. In verse 2, in verse 5 and 6, in verse 11, and around verse 15, you will find this phrase, the place that the Lord has chosen. Meaning that at some time when they get into the promised land, when they celebrate Passover, when they celebrate Pentecost, when they celebrate the Feast of Booths, they must do it in a certain location. And God will choose that location. Now we find in 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 36, when we're dealing with Solomon and Jeroboam and Rehoboam, we find that the place God chose in the promised land is Jerusalem. And so each year, the males were to go to Jerusalem for the celebration of these three feasts. The males were required to go. The males of each household were required to go, but your family was more than welcome to come along as well. And these three feasts took place in Jerusalem, and this is the place which the Lord has chosen. Now, what does this phrase mean? The place which the Lord has shall choose. This means that this is a position or a location that God has selected for life to happen. Now, the wonderful thing about this is when we apply this to our lives, what God has designed or the way God has structured for life to happen does not interfere with your talents or abilities. See, we can still live a godly life if we work as an EMT overnight. You can still be a godly person if you're a fireman. You can be a godly police officer. You can be a godly postal worker. You can be a godly teacher. It doesn't matter, because God's structure doesn't interfere with what you bring to the world through your talents. If you can sing, I can't. But you can still live under God's structure. It does not interfere. Wherever God has positioned things to happen in life will not interfere or be a problem for what you can do. Will not be a problem. Now, how do we apply this to our lives? The question is, what place has God chosen? What place has God chosen for a couple things that I thought of to share with you this morning? What place has God chosen for us to get even? We like to get even, don't we? Okay, I'm the only one that wants to get even when somebody does. This is when I say get even, this is the time when somebody has done you wrong, made you mad, got you upset, got you hot, got you ready to say something. Is somebody with me now? Okay, now y'all know what it means to get even. And you want to get them just as upset. You want to hurt them more. If you got a temper like me, I don't want you to feel my pain. I want you to feel more. I want to win. I want to win this hurt thing. If I'm a hurt you, I'm trying to come at you. Y'all pray for me. But I'm being honest with you. I'm being honest with you. When I want revenge, I want to win. I don't want you to come back from it. I didn't say it too much. Somebody gonna not want to make me mad. Now God is working with me. God has done. I'm not what I used to be. Now, what has God chosen? I'm telling you what I used to be. My BC, before Christ. Okay. Now I'm in AD. That's after deliverance. Okay. That's what I used to feel. But I can tell you what I was. So when I wanted to get even, but I had to read this scripture here. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 19. What place has God chosen for revenge? What place has God chosen for revenge? Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." What is the location of revenge? God. He says, "Avenge not yourselves." Meaning you do not have to get them back. Give God the space to do what he's going to do. That word wrath there means punishment from a magistrate. A magistrate is somebody that has the ability to judge and decipher what needs to be done. We are not magistrates. Because when we magistrate like me. Some of y'all didn't want to say man because you know I was talking about you. Because you're like me. You want to win when you get revenge. But you got to let God, the judge, give the punishment. And when God gives the punishment is well delivered. The place for revenge is God. We have to let God handle that wrong that was done unto us. And as long as we are still walking this earth, somebody at some point is going to get us. And we have to give place. But if we prepare our mind right now, while everybody's treating us right, we will react the way God has chosen for us to react. Do y'all see that this has nothing to do with what kind of job you have? this has no bearings on how much money you have or how much money you do not have. Because most of us can tell each other how much money we don't have. But revenge, rich, poor, high class, big house, little car, no car, two wheels on your car, whatever status you're in, God has a place for revenge. Let's look at the structure of marriage. The structure of marriage, Ephesians. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. What place has God chosen for the husband and the wife? What place has God chosen? If we're going to be people, if we're going to be like these Israelites and please God, if we want to please God, we have to live our life where God has chosen for it to happen. Where God has chosen for it to happen. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 25. The Bible reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, before men, before we get our chest too far out, as if we've been lifting weights, before our chest come way too far out, over that word head. That word head means chief. And that means you are the top authority. That's a wonderful privilege. But understand this. He says you're the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. See, as a head, it's not a everybody serves me type head. If we're going to be a head of our families as Christ is head of the church, when you look at how Christ leads, Christ's headship is a servant headship, meaning he's not looking for his body to please him, but he is trying to find out, or he is looking for ways to please his body. Meaning that if I'm going to be the head over my wife, I'm not concerned with what my wife is doing for me. I'm trying to figure out, what can I do for my wife? I'm serving. I'm bringing myself lower so that my wife can be elevated. It's not about her bringing me dinner. I'll take it. But let me say this. You won't get no dinner if you ain't providing no food. Amen. So if you're not serving your house, don't look for a plate. She may just cook enough for her. So if you want to be the head, you have to put yourself low. Look at what Christ did. Christ was in heaven. Christ came to earth and put on our clothes to save his body. He brought himself low. He is above the angels. And he brought himself below the angels to be like us. His bride. And a man wants to say, everybody just do what I say, that ain't gonna work. A head, a leader, looks out for the best of those that's following him. That's God's type of leadership. When this Bible says you're the head of the church, that's what it's talking about. That's why he goes and says in verse 25, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. For the church to be as great as it can be, Christ had to give himself. He gave his life. He surrendered himself to people that he was more powerful than. That's the kind of head. That's the place that God has chosen for the marriage. Now watch this. He says in verse 24, he says, therefore, as the church is subject or submissive or underneath underneath Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, some of y'all looking, what is Charles going to say now? Here's what I'm going to say. At some point, if you're not married, at some point, if somebody wants to marry, they're going to get down on one knee and put it on Instagram. And I love to see them, though. They look wonderful. And they're going to plan out all this nice stuff. And they're going to get down on one knee and ask you to marry them. Okay? These things happen. No matter what the world says, people still get married. Men still ask a woman to marry them. Now watch this. When he gets down on one knee, before you get, you may be happy, before, don't get blinded by the diamond. Look at him and say, do I want to follow him? The Bible says you must be subject unto your husband as Christ, as the church is to Christ. So you get to choose your head. Now sometimes we put on some good sheep clothing. And some of us, some women have found some wolves. But I'm telling you, you still in control. You say, well, I got to follow him. You chose to follow him because when he looked down at that diamond, big or small, you looked at it, you blinked your eyes and you started nodding, you said yes. When you're dating, you have to think, do I want to follow him? If you don't want to follow him while you're dating, you sure don't want to marry him. If he can't plan a couple dates, and I'm bad at planning a date, but if he can't plan one or two, he can't plan a life. You got to have one of these don't care men. Let me tell you what a don't care man is. I got to hurry up and sit down before I get too much in trouble. A don't care man. You say, I want, he's working. He loves God. He's a Christian. He wants to raise a Christian family. All these great things. And he cares about those things, okay? Because there's a wedding date. Every marriage has a date where they started, okay? That's your anniversary, brothers, if you don't remember. That's the anniversary date, the one that y'all got dressed up. She is very concerned about that day. She wants that day to be perfect. Okay? Now, this is where you want a don't care man, sisters. You're going to say, what do you think about this plate? He don't say, I don't care. You know, whatever plate you want. What about this napkin? Whatever napkin you want. What about this food? He may say, hold on. All right, that'll work. What about the cake? Nah, I don't care about that either. He's a don't care brother. Because what he's concerned about is not the marriage date, the wedding date. He don't care about the wedding date. His job is the marriage. Okay? So me and Ron got married March 19th. I didn't care about March 19th. I knew I was coming. Wasn't going to let no good thing pass me by. I knew I was going to be there. And I knew exactly what to say. Whatever Brother Hunter said, say that. And say I do. That's all I need to say. My job was March 20th to now. The marriage. That's my job. And that's the job I took very seriously. I didn't care. What about these forks? I don't care. They can eat with them wooden spoons that they put with the little cups of blueberry. I don't care what they eat with. Because I care about March 20th and beyond. That's my job. Servant leadership. Now, how do I obtain salvation? What place has God chosen for me to obtain salvation? Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to put our finger at verse 40. In Acts chapter 2, this is the day of Pentecost. They were all gathered in Jerusalem. The apostles started to speak to the people and tell them about Christ. The people were confused that they were hearing this message about Jesus in their own language. And they knew these men didn't know their language. And they thought these men were drunk. God tells them, Peter says, these men are not drunk. And Peter begins to tell them about what happened with this Christ that was crucified. this man Jesus that you crucified. He tells the Jews, he is the Messiah you've been waiting on the entire time. He's who you've been looking for. And he begins to tell them about Christ. And when he tells them that they crucified him, they're pricked in their hearts, or they're convicted that they did something wrong and they want to make it right. And he tells them in verse 38 to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on in verse 40, he says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. What that means is, when Peter told them to get baptized, that wasn't the end of his sermon. But he says, save yourselves from this wicked or untoward generation. Now the question is, how do I obtain salvation? What place has God chosen for that? Now in verse 38, it doesn't say that this baptism is for salvation. It says it's for remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it is commanded. But Peter says, save yourself. So the question is, what did they do after Peter said, save yourself? Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So what place has God chosen for us to obtain salvation? Baptism. Because when Peter said, save yourself, they could have done a lot of things. But what did they do? The Bible records that they were baptized. This world puts a lot of selections out there about how to get even. It puts a lot of selections out there about how your marriage should be structured. And it puts a lot of options out there about how to obtain salvation. You can say a sinner's prayer. You can just ask God to come into your heart. You can have somebody pour some water on you. You can have somebody sprinkle something on you. But the question is not, what does man say? What has man chosen? The question is, what place has God chosen? Because we must always be in the place that God has chosen. And if God didn't choose it, we should not choose it either. All of our choices should align with what God has set forth. For us to get even by allowing God to do the punishment, for men to be the head of their households, for us to be baptized for our salvation, that does not interfere with you being a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, an engineer, nothing. Because God is telling you how to live your life. Not what to do in your life. He's given us all talents to keep this world spinning. But all those talents can still be saved. All those talents can be saved. All those abilities can be saved. God has chosen a way for us to live our lives. My questions to you this morning. Are you living your life the way God has chosen for life to be lived? Are you living in God's choices? Is your salvation according to God's way or God's chosen method of salvation? If you have a no, if you say no to either of these questions, let me tell you this. If you've erred, if you've gone away from God's will, let me tell you this. God has chosen himself to be the place of forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he says that if we confess our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He's chosen himself. And if your salvation is not obtained through baptism in his son's name for the remission of your sins, not only will it add you to the church, but it will save you. If your salvation is not obtained that way, I beg of you, get baptized. Let nothing hold you back. We don't have any pre-baptism classes. We have a one-question pop quiz, and I'm telling you to test right now so it won't pop up when you come up. The question is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You say, yes, we baptize you. Test over. You passed. Now pass on to baptism and save yourself. If there's anyone that is subject to the invitation, to the opportunity to put your get your forgiveness where God has chosen it, to get your salvation where God has chosen it, let it be known. As together we stand and sing the song of invitation.